the World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
What's our name?
We're men! Men on the
Mission! Are you ready?
Welcome to the New Gen on a Mission podcast of the North-South Connection. I'm Tim Slavka.
I'm JP.
Thanks for joining us again. As always, we're on the journey to relive the new generation era to find the best and some of the worst of a wrestling time period often forgotten. From Bret and Shawn at Survivor Series 92 to Bret and Shawn at Survivor Series 97, we look beyond just the pay-per-views and examine the weekly TV and see what worked, what could have worked, and what failed. So how's it going, JP?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I just got back from a little vacation down in your neck of the wood in Florida. So it's taken me a week to get, like, I need a week in between vacations, like, to get before getting back to, like, just getting through, like, the silly stuff, laundry, mail, garbage, like, all that stuff. Just take a week to read. We went grocery shopping tonight. It's like, oh man, our fridge is empty. You know, it's like stock everything up from scratch. So
that's the one thing I hate about going out of town is like coming back and, like, you're so happy to be back, but then you really can't even rest because you got so much stuff to do now, like your day-to-day life or whatever. So, How was Florida compared to Illinois?
It wasn't, you know, I was, from a COVID standpoint, I was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
I wasn't too disappointed. You know, we kind of stayed at an old person resort, so I kind of kept to ourselves. But then we did go to Disney World for a couple of days, and it was I think pretty safe there. Strict there, so it was okay. You know, a couple of times I went to a store, and, you know, there's massless people walking around, which in my area of Chicago you don't see. Like, that's like
that's what I was gonna ask. Yeah, I went to the gas station today and was literally the only person with a mask on. So I don't know if it's like that in Illinois, if everyone's wearing a mask up there. But down here, like in certain parts, there's no masks at all. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. My area is definitely like a kind of rich yuppity type area, and you get the looks of like, who do you think you are? You know, so
right.
And like, I try to be a little bit smart, but like, you know, like, I mean, you get closer than like 5 feet to someone, and you know the alarms are going off. So I mean, you know, it's definitely a little different, but sometimes it's a little over the top, but.
Right.
We try to be as safe as possible, but yeah, I was expecting a way bigger, bloodbath of COVID, but I think with young kids, we weren't going to the clubs in the Miami Beach strip, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's different. If you're doing more like, you know, attraction kind of things, that's a little different than day to day life. You know, you're not going to the Publix and gas station and all that stuff. And, seeing everyone without it, so
yeah, we did go to a Publix like a Sunday night, and a lady walked in without a mask, but then she held her shirt over her face the whole time. I was like, isn't that more uncomfortable? Like, I get you're making a point, like that, like to walk around holding your shirt up is like more annoying than just wearing a stupid mask. Like,
well, I saw a guy yesterday walk in the store and put a bag over his face, like a plastic bag. I'm like, you're going to kill yourself. Like, what are you doing? I don't get it.
Yeah, I get it. It's like, okay, it's a discomfort, but it's like not hard for put on a mask for 2 minutes. You don't have to put it on like good. Like, you know, but it's got to be so uncomfortable walking around with your hand up against your face the whole time.
Hey, that's the beauty of natural selection, man. It always works.
Right. So we got a big one tonight, our second pay-per-view, but first pay-per-view, you know, we've watched a lead up to. So the Rumble 93, maybe just like, let's give a couple minutes just on any thoughts on any Rumbles, favorite Rumbles, anything like
that. Yeah, so Rumble is my favorite period pay-per-view of all time, you know, in general. I was thinking today, you know, like, I've seen a couple people like on Twitter and Facebook and things like the conversation of, you know, what's one match you would show somebody that's not a wrestling fan. And I've always thought the Royal Rumble is a perfect match to show someone that's not a wrestling fan. You know, it depending on the era that you think they'd be interested in, because, you know, they get like, you get so in tune with all the characters, like you get to see, you know, you're not going to force somebody that doesn't like wrestling to watch this, like, 30-minute match with all these rest holds and, you know, build up and all this stuff when they don't have any clue of it. You know, the Rumble, you know, you're attracted to the characters. You know, you get a new person in, like, oh, I like how that person looks. What do they do? And, you know, that
kind
of thing.
I've heard of that before, right? Like, that's like the old grandma mm-hmm. test. Like, oh, yeah, I've heard of, you know, Big Boss Man or whoever it is before.
Right.
So definitely keeps it interesting.
So, yeah, I was just thinking of that. And as far as, like, Rumbles go in general, you know, like, being that it is one of my favorite, you know, pay-per-views of all time, it is my favorite pay-per-view of all time. A couple come to mind. Like, the 97 Rumble was real big with Austin, like, doing the whole looking at his watch, waiting for Brett. And then Brett comes out and he kind of freaks out. And then just the finish to that one was cool. I liked how they did that.
Yep.
Building, like, the whole arc. You know, and that's another thing that the Rumble does is it's the perfect arc until WrestleMania. So, you know, like in 97, you had Austin get eliminated, but then come back in. It created a whole pay-per-view main event the next month and a Final Four. Then created the, you know, offshoot of that with Undertaker and Sid and Austin and Brett in the submission match. So that was a cool one. And then another one I really like was 2010 with Punk doing the mic work throughout most of the Rumble. You know, that was cool too. So that's just a couple that come to mind off the top of my head. What about you?
Yeah, I was gonna say a newer one, 08, the Garden, with John Cena coming back as number 30. We literally before the events talked, we were all talking around like, oh, when's Cena coming back? Oh, 6 months. Oh, maybe next year. And I mean, he got a pop for him coming out in New York City, like unheard of. So it was an awesome surprise. Before everyone became too big of a smarks, like, you know, it's just a, no one saw that coming. Like, we all lost our mind watching that one. The 07 one is great with Michaels and Taker finishing off the last 5-10 minutes of the match.
That's a good card altogether, too.
That is a great Rumble. Yeah, great Rumble. Of course, 92 is, you know, the Flair, and you got all the characters of, you know, the old pre-New Gen era. And then I think everyone's favorite, the 05 McMahon double quad tear, you know, for comedy.
Oh, yeah.
For comedy. Yeah. The McMahon walks
so awesome.
Disaster. And just
he doesn't even want to sell it.
Yeah, doesn't want to sell it. And I'm pretty sure that was a botch of them both going over. I've never really read much on it, but
yeah, I believe
it's just
it was.
It's such a sloppy ending. Like, it's just Vince is in the ring. They're trying to figure out what to do. Like, just kind of comedy.
And he's sitting on his ass. He's sitting on his ass, pointing at him. Like,
Pointing at him.
I don't care if my quads are blown. You guys are going to fix this shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, always for comedy. And you know what? That is one thing about the Rumble, too. You know, they also do, you know, it's, you know, now they have the comedy spot. They have the Kofi elimination. I can't think, is it, I'm going to screw up who does it on the women's side now, but there's one that does the Kofi spot on the women's side as well. You got
Naomi. Yeah, Naomi does it.
Right. I was going to say Natalia, but I knew that was wrong. Naomi does them. And you kind of got, you know, we were talking about different eras. You know, you had in the 2000 and 2001, you had the, you know, hardcore section. So you kind of got like different things and different, you know, different eras too that kind of add to it. Whether you think WWF does comedy well, you know, they've done some pretty cool things. The Santino one I can think of. You know, I think they've had some good moments that keeps
and
it
got returns too.
The returns now too.
Surprise returns, you know, like some guy will come out. That was like the thing. I think when did they start doing that? The early 2000s, maybe, with like Haku did it. I think
that was 01. I don't know if that, I don't even know what that was. Like, I think that was just I'm looking for a job type thing. But they, I would say more in like 05, 06 is when they really piped up like, oh, mystery guest and, you know, who could be coming back. But,
yeah.
I mean, even we'll see in this Rumble, you had guys like Terry Taylor come back, you know? So why he wasn't pumped up for the 93 one, like they were still kind of doing that. Like, oh, this guy, like, where did he come from? You know?
Right.
So
right.
I think that's always kind of been the Rumble. You know, I think for a while they made a big deal of it, and now it's kind of, I don't think they really announced like surprise, but there's always one or two like, oh, no way.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, Carlito was this year. He was Carlito,
He was definitely in good shape. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, so we get to 93 then?
Yes, sir. Let's get started.
Yes, we got a random city, Sacramento, California. It is the capital of California, but, like, you know, the cities you think of California, not the one you kind of pops your mind. But they supposedly got a sellout, so good on them. Must be a big big wrestling town, but good on them to get the sellout. knowing that things haven't been always in the up and up right now. Disappointing, and I don't really understand this, but the pre-match was Doink in a pre-match match. I just, like, the amount of time they've given him on Superstars and Raw, like, I don't know why he didn't make the card, even if it is, you know, put him over a jobber. But
right, who did it say he wrestled on the
Jim show? Powers.
Oh wow!
But have him fight Owen.
That's a waste.
Owen, Tito, someone like that. Like, he's just been all over Raw, so like, or in Superstars. Like, I don't understand why he's not on there. So a little weird there. And then we get Gorilla and Bobby to start. Disappointing. Yeah. There's no Vince screaming down the card. So that was one of the most disappointing thing of,
you know. Yeah, that hurt.
The Rumble participants, and one of my favorite thing of Justin and Scott's on a Place to Be is them reenacting Haku or, you know, any of the guys. So it kind of loses its luster, but I think good job so far on Superstars and Raw building up to the show. And I think even at the throughout the pay-per-view, Bobby and Gorilla do a good job of, like, building it up as, like, this is a big deal. So while it's kind of missing that, like, awesome open, I think they do make it feel like it's a big deal.
Yeah, you can't really complain, you know, having Bobby and Gorilla together because their chemistry is just so good. But I do agree, like, not having Vince do the introductions, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's the turn here, like, the, you know, like, hey, we're not gonna do this the old way anymore, and we're not gonna shout over everyone and you know, announce all the names. So let's just do it something different. I doubt they put that much thought into that, but
I don't, you know, maybe they did, because, like, I don't know when the next good open's going to be.
Right. Like, it's going to be a while. I remember another time. Right.
Right. Like, I can't think, like, Rumble 94 is weird. And I remember even 95 was weird Rumble, and Survivor Series 93 has a terrible open. Like, I don't know. They must've just, like, thought that didn't get people in. So, like, I think they must've changed tune. And then by, like, what, 96, they start doing the Todd, you know, video packages, which are awesome, right? Like, the build-ups.
Right.
And, but, like, the old, you know, I kind of have, like, a dead time of intros. Like, the pay-per-views just kind of start and missing the music. So I think they must have somehow thought that, or it just cost too much money. I don't know.
I
think it was a strategic decision. Did they have anything for Survivor Series? No, I don't think either, right?
No, like, I don't think so either. So you know what? It might have been strategic to say, hey, you know, we're not doing this, like, big bombastic characters anymore. Like, we're not,
right.
We don't want that kind of presentation, even though they trot out Caesar later, but
yeah.
You know, like that kind of shoots that theory down the drain. Yeah. But, you know, like, still, yeah, it's, you can definitely tell there's a different feel in the product just by the beginning of the show.
Yep. All right, you want to take the first
Yes, sir. So the first match we got here is going to be the Beverly Brothers, Porn Stash and all, versus the Steiners, wearing their 80s dance aerobic outfits on this one. They match a little bit more here with the outfits. It's not as crazy, but it's still a pretty, like, wild look they got going on here.
Yeah,
I thought this match was started off real slow. Like, Scott, like, you know, with the Beverly's offense on Scott, really just clubbing him, kind of nothing to kind of get you excited in the show. So I was kind of disappointed in the first half of this match, until Rick got tagged in. He kind of brought some energy into the match a little bit, but the Beverly Brothers just could not mesh well with the Steiners, in my opinion. Like, they were a little disjointed. They couldn't take a lot of their offense. Like, the timing was off a lot on some of the stuff they wanted to do. Scott did hit a pretty nice, like, he had a bear hug at one point, and then he's flipped it into, like, a belly-to-belly suplex. That he probably didn't even tell him that he was going to do that.
There's no chance, yep.
He probably just tossed his ass. But, yeah, overall, I didn't really think this match was that great of an opener, especially coming off the heels of, like, Rockers and Orient Express, and then you had, what was 92? Rockers in the, or, no, the Orient Express and then the New Foundation, I think.
New Foundation, yep.
Yeah, so, you know, you had two pretty good, you know, opening tag matches to get it started. They kind of tried that formula here. The Steiners are over and all, but I just didn't think the match gelled that well. We got a, you know, Frankensteiner towards the end where it looked like Scott broke his neck more than he did the other guy's neck to get the 1-2-3 and the Steiners win. But overall, just a decent match in my opinion. I gave it 2 stars. What did you think?
Yeah, I actually forgot to do stars. I was gonna say like, oh, we gotta do stars again. We haven't done that for the, you know, the squashes and stuff. So glad you came right prepared. But one, I got a couple of notes. Gorilla starts out by saying Beverly Brothers is a tremendous success in the WWF. I don't know what he's talking about. They have not had any success. I don't even know if they've had a win. I don't know if we've seen a win. I'm not really sure who they beat, but yeah, tremendous success. He also said that he could have paid 50 times what he paid for his ticket to sell to the scalpers. So pretty funny, like overselling the sellout. But I mean, the crowd is hot for the Steiners. Like, they're a newer team. They're, I put a note, like, I wasn't growing up NWA fan or, you know, even WCW till later. Like, I don't know, California was their whole, like, really their big peak, right? It was like South, I thought. And I mean, like, how would people know the Steiners? But man, they got a pop. The crowd was hot for it, but I think you're right. The first couple minutes, a little slow, but then they started just beating the Beverlys. I think that added to the crowd getting pumped for them getting over. And actually, Gorilla, I think they do a good job of like building up the events, but Gorilla started like kind of during the slow part talking about other things. And Bobby actually was like, look at this tag team. Like, look at how much action we got in the tag team division. So I think he kind of did like a good job of like bringing the match back, because there was kind of like, and we'll see it in another match, like this little lull of just like them either not communicating or not putting things together. The Frankensteiner is so deadly. You thought it was pretty easy. I thought the guy was dead. The way he just flips him over is crazy. And the crowd was just so pumped for it. Like, when he hit it, like, it was a finisher. Like,
yeah, the move is over like crazy.
The move is it just makes no sense. So, like, to me, like, it's crazy how big the Steiner is over. And I think I'll give some props to the crowd throughout the night, but this was one where, you know, whatever it is, they got this town over. And then at the end, Bobby tried to use the brain scan. It did technical issues. You know, maybe we talked about it. trying to make it work. It just did not work. So I think they've been cutting the budget on something. But he was definitely getting pissed off and proud for him for not dropping an F-bomb or something like that. I gave it 2.5 just because I think the Steiners were just so over. And I think the Beverlys took the offense pretty well. And even though the match did have a little lull parts, I think they didn't look like jobbers. Maybe they should have looked like jobbers, but the Beverly's at least able to make it look legit that they can hang with the Steiner. So I gave it 2.5, a little bit more than you.
All right, cool. So where are we going next from there?
So we got a hot video package leading up to Marty and Sean. Showing the barbershop, showing them as a tag team first in the barbershop, then showing also the Sherry return angle. They're really pumping up the Sherry part of it. I think we talked last week or 2 weeks ago, you know, maybe it's not the best thing. Like, why do they need Sherry in here? They actually did a pretty cool visual after when they pulled away from the video package. They were still showing it on like the Titantron and to like the crowd, but also showing it to like the home viewers. So it's like a really cool visual that they probably planned out weeks ahead. So they made me pop on it. Like, it was a pretty cool idea to show that, hey, the crowd in the arena is watching this too. So anything on the highlight package or the pre-match?
Yeah, I mean, this feud, like, I think the sum of its parts is better than the whole, however that saying goes. Yeah. Like, the highlight package of this is so awesome. Like, you know, the guys have had such a long career as a tag team. So when you see this, put it all together, you're so hyped for this match. So I never mind seeing this highlight package between the two whenever the match is getting going. So I liked it a lot.
Yeah, and then Sherry comes out, but I thought like she had no reaction. So I don't know if people didn't care or if they were confused about whether to cheer her or not. Because when Marty came out, and Marty got a pop. Like, Marty was definitely over in this match. So I'm just not sure if people didn't care about Sherry or it just wasn't necessary. But she comes down. Her boobs are out for the Rumble. So the dress was not fitted for her.
definitely not.
Yeah. So then Sean comes out with the Sherry music still. So they're still playing up that Sean and Sherry are connected. So definitely part of this match. So then into the match. It's a pretty good match. Not great. you know, the way I think of it, they work. Sean throws Marty, the crux of the match. Sean throws Marty into the steel post and really works on his shoulder. That really kind of like is the crux of the match. The first 5-10 minutes, a little slow, but okay, you're building up that Sean's working on Marty's shoulder to slow him down a little bit. But then after that, there's a slap in the middle, and that just got a massive pop. And then Sean starts the bumping show, and Marty starts really getting these close near falls. Their outfits, though, they're both in white, so I could definitely tell if you're in that crowd. Like, you could probably have trouble. I put tough to see which one of the two Mullen guys doing what. So they kind of had similar outfits. So I could see how it could be a little bit tough to see which one was doing it. But the crowd was just all over. Marty had this awesome scoop slam. They got a near fall. The last 5 minutes, there were probably 5 or 6 near falls that the crowd popped every time for. Every time for Marty's, close victory. In the end, the ref gets knocked down. It gets a little bit chaotic, and like you kind of talk about, maybe just unnecessary, right? And I might screw this. Ref gets knocked down. Jerry comes in, needs to come in for some reason. And then Jerry hits Marty on accident. Crescent kick, which they call, not the super kick, right? And Shaw gets the victory. There I put Shaw, Sherry's boobs were popping out as she was exiting the ring from the slap. She runs to the back. So I don't know if you have anything on the match before we kind of talk post match.
Yeah, so what did you give the match as a star rating?
I give it 3, but I'm debating that because I think as we talk about post-match, I want to discuss that a little bit. But.
Okay. Yeah, so in general, Marty Jannetty's outfit is fucking ridiculous. Like, he looks... like, I thought this was the rematch from Raw between Max Moon and Shawn Michaels at first, the way Marty Jannetty was dressed. Like, he just looked like, Edward Scissorhands or some shit. But, yeah, I thought the match started off pretty slow. Like, it was a good little brawl at first, showing the hate between the two or whatever. So the storytelling was good, but the finish was so lame. Like, it was when Sherry hits him with the heel, that's fine. But he takes the bump, then Sean picks him up and then hits the crescent kick. It's so slow. It's so, like, anticlimactic.
Yeah.
If you're going to start the match with two guys that are, like, fast-paced and athletic, slow, at least build it to like a hot finish, like a fast finish, or the other way around, start off real fast and have your dramatic finish. Well, no, they went, slow to build, which is fine, but then they had this kind of flat finish. So I thought it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth in the match. And it wasn't like a bad match or anything. It was just more disappointing. I think that, I feel like they could have had a better match. So I gave it 3 stars. I thought it was an average match, just a solid match, but nothing to go crazy over.
Yeah, in the post match, Sherry goes to the back. She's like, Gene is pretty good there, overacting. You're hysterical, Sherry. Like, really going in. Sean comes at her. I don't know why Sean was so big on like yelling at her, but then Sean and Marty, brawl to the back or in the back area, need to be broken up. So clearly they thought, okay, let's continue this feud on later. One of the points I have on this match is this is a weird show. You only have 5 matches, and you're going to have 3 heel winners. So you have probably one of the only times in history you're going to have more heels win than faces.
True.
How often has that happened? I mean, I think they needed the title win here. The crowd was begging for a Marty win, right?
Oh, they easily could have done it too. Like,
yeah,
it would have made sense.
Right. And I think on a different card, right, you've kind of talked, people talk like Mania 7, should have Bossman and be perfect. It's like, well, it gets lost on the card, right? Like, this is one where, like, you needed that. I get the Steiners just won, but, like, you needed that big, I think, win here because you're having way too many heels go over. You send the fans home happy. You can still do stuff with Sherry if you want for a later date, but give Marty the strap, even if it's on a, fuck finish and let Tony reverse it next month or in the next Raw. But like, I think the crowd was just dying, begging for that win. obviously they thought long term, hey, let's keep this feud going. And obviously it never really regenerates, but I think this card would have been a real big change to have Marty just win there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I don't know what their plans were. Maybe, you know, because Marty's so in and out, and they had to have known that already. So, like, why make these, like, long-term plans anyways? You know, why not do this quick finish, like you're saying, and then just switch it back? I mean, you literally could have switched it back the next night on Raw. Like, you could have had Sherry, you know, turn on Marty and stayed heel or something and screwed her or something, you know, but.
Or just Sean Wynn. Yeah. I mean, you could even have Sean Wynn clean if you, like, you know, who cares, right? Like,
right.
I think just the card needed it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Especially after, you know, the kind of flat finish in the beginning, you know, it was an okay match, but nothing to write home about. This match finishes flat. You're just not off to like the best start, and you're really not doing anything for the crowd to be memorable. You know what I mean? Like that, you want that memorable moment, and I think it would help the rest of the card. Like when you look at cards from, you know, whatever year that people talk about, there's usually like a moment that sticks out, and then you're like, oh yeah, and then they had this match too, and they had this match because you remember the one sticking point. And like you said, they don't have that sticking point with this.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I would be different. I'd feel differently if the crowd wasn't all over it, but I mean, that's why I give it 3 stars, just because it was like you were pulling for Marty, like, oh man, I know he's not going to win, but like kind of wanted to win. Like you just felt for him, and you know how his career kind of goes after this moment. So it might've maybe turned him around and turned his life around, but wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll let you go the next match. The crowd pleaser.
So, oh God, this match was so on to the trend of slow plotting matches. We got a Bam Bam Bigelow versus the Big Boss Man. So far this is the theme of the show so far, is let's get 2 guys in there who the feud's kind of not really built, except for the Sean feud, but it's not really like hot or anything like that.
Yep.
The match is just slow. It's nothing to really invest yourself into. I felt like Big Boss Man was calling WCW in the middle of this match. Like, hey, you know, are you guys ready for me yet? Because he was just so checked out. Like Bam Bam, I feel sorry for Bam Bam here because Bam Bam's coming back and he's like trying to get himself back over to the crowd. Like, hey, I'm this big deal, you know? And Boss Man just does not give 2 shits. Like, he's just like, hey, I'm out of the door, you know, you do what you got to do, but you know, the sooner I can get this over, the better. And it just was a nothing match, you know. Bam Bam gets the win. It wasn't anything to get excited about. I don't even know what the point of doing this was, you know, for one blow off match. You know, they had to know Boss Man was leaving. Like, I don't even know how many times we see him after this.
I don't see him again. Yeah, I don't.
This is his last match, right?
He might have been fired because of this. Yeah.
Right, it was so bad. I mean, I gave it a star just because Bam Bam at least tried in this match, you know, and Bossman just wasn't, he just really wasn't there. Bam Bam was wrestling himself pretty much, but
yeah.
Yeah, this match is a perfect example of why they should have done what you said and switched the title, because now you have a tag match that was for nothing. Like, what did you get out of that match? Like, you don't, there's no feud anymore. There's no titles. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the Steiners are getting over there, a new team, but, you know, you didn't really get anything out of it. The next match, you get this fuck finish. You get the heel winning. You know, nothing really exciting out of that. And now you get this match, and I doubt anybody was invested in this feud at all. And to top it off, you have a match that sucks even worse than the feud was. So it's like you're starting off to a real big whimper so far on this show.
Yep, I agree. And then I was gonna give it a, I'm gonna give half a star. You said something about like Boss Man wanted to get this match over quick. This match was not quick either. Like it was not a squash. It was not a squash. Boss Man, the gut was starting to appear. Immediately shirt open. I wrote that they both looked like they went to a big steak dinner the night before. They kind of they like had like a belly. Bellies like hit at the beginning, and I was like, man, their bellies are like the exact same. So joke, they had a big steak dinner the night before. There's a long bear hug in the middle of just Bam Bam laying on the ground holding Big Boss Man, not even in a bear hug, like more of like a light spooning. It's pretty rough. I mean, this probably, I want to see how much thought long this went, maybe 10 minutes. Like, it was way too long. Yeah, 10:09, like, so long. I think we're kind of right. Like, okay, let Marty win the title. Let everyone, this is the beer match, right? Get your beer, get your, souvenirs, but let Marty win the title. So everyone's pumped up in the, you know, in the,
right. They're buzzing stuff, right? At least
they're buzzing. Yeah, yeah. The crowd's buzzing. Okay. You know, a 10 minute match. Okay. Maybe a little long. You know, all these early rumbles, all rumbles kind of have this match, right? The building of a new guy. I'm okay right. with it if it was that, but it just like comes after a sour note. The crowd checked out big time for it, and I won't even give Bam Bam that much credit. Neither guy gave much effort in this.
Right.
The last 2 minutes were cool. Bam Bam had a nice clothesline to get Bossman down, and then the headbutt is awesome, and the crowd definitely mm-hmm. popped for that. Like, you know, Big Man flying in the air. So the ending was cool. I don't mind, you know, you need to have a 10-minute match to kill some of the time on the card. I'm okay with, but it's just, it wasn't needed where this card was. And you could, like we just joked about, you know, both guys just look like they didn't really care about it. Or Boss Man especially definitely looked like I'm out the door. I'm going to go eat some dinner before I go to this match.
Half yeah, it wasn't even like the Haas battle. Like, it wasn't even right, like, yeah. You know, like you had the, like, if you look at this card on paper, it's perfect. Like, right. It's a tag match. It's a great feud for the title, for Intercontinental title between, you know, two athletic guys. And then you have a Haas match, and you got a title match, and you got the Rumble. Like, the card is perfect in idea, but so far it's terrible in execution because, you know, no one else is fighting along with. I mean, not terrible, that's a little too harsh.
Yeah,
you know, it's a solid match, but you know what I mean, like, it's not,
yeah,
it's not living up to expectation,
right? And like, I don't know at the time, like, do you know Boss Man's really leaving? So like, that's a big win for Bam Bam, and like, it didn't feel like it, right? Like, he,
right.
That's, you know, like, you know, I mean, if you kind of look at that card, you know, you think, I think Bossman, what is it, fight Barbarian in 91? You're like, Bossman's winning this over Bam Bam. Like, there's no chance. So like, it should be a big deal that he took him out, but it just doesn't feel like it. So, so then we have a little highlight package of Razor and of Brett, the, you know, the Mania footage of Razor knocking out Owen. Before a big title match. So I think, you know, we've talked about the buildup for this. It's kind of been a weird buildup. Why these guys, two guys are fighting. How did Razor get the number one contender? They try to add some heat to it. But, you know, here we go. The first big, you know, title match for Brett versus Razor, you know, with a buildup to it. You know, in the intro, Razor does look good. I just put that. Like, he just looks good. He's got
his hair down.
He's got, the song is awesome. He has a swagger to himself. He's tall, you know, kind of lean, you know, in good shape.
Yeah.
I even think Brett looks good. He's kind of got the all pink. He got the, you know, the hair, you know, the glasses, the kind of all pink, the title belt, the way he kind of walks, he's just got confidence. So they both, I think, look pretty cool. They did an awesome shot of the back where Brett was kind of in the back, wait, like in gorilla position, waiting to go out. So I think, like, just cool, different mm-hmm. entrance to start off. Anything on the pre-match, them kind of entering?
Yeah, I thought, you know, mentioning him and gorilla, like, I thought it gave this, like, a big fight feel. Like,
right.
What you would see, like, boxers coming from the back in this time period or whatever. And I love the attire, the red on red, the pink. Like, you're not seeing too many guys look like this, like, you know, Brett's always been the guy to wear the pink, and no one else really yep. was. But the pink on pink with the sweet jacket that he had, it just really popped. And, you know, Razor breaking out the red with the gold, and yeah, the ambiance of everything was perfect so far. So,
yep. And then they even get the match started. You know, Brett does his classic giving the shades to the little kid, and Razor with nice heel heat, and I actually got some cheers for it too, but threw the toothpick right at the kid. So
I loved
cool.
it.
It was like a little cool heel heat there to get the match started. So Razor, I think, and I thought I've heard this from other podcasts, actually had a knee injury. So he definitely has a second knee. I forgot to look up if where it happened, but he definitely has a second knee pad on the one knee. So Brett, I don't know if because of that, was doing a lot of leg work. I mean, I know his move is a sharpshooter, but Razor didn't look like in pain or anything with it. So I don't know if it really affected the match, but was definitely something I had heard about before, but I didn't notice it affecting the match. I don't know if you know about this or felt like it.
No, I didn't know. I mean, I thought the match, like, I couldn't, if he was hurt, that actually adds to the match for me, because I think he, you know, Razor worked his ass off. Like, I thought he was in there the whole time. So, no, I didn't even know that. So,
yeah, I could be wrong too. Yeah, I could be wrong too. Don't quote me on it. But yeah, I definitely did see the knee pad. I'm like, oh yeah, this is, I think, the match where he had hurt his knee, but he looked good. The story of the match, right, is that Bobby and Gorilla are putting over the Razor's legs. He might be too tall for Brett, right? So Brett's kind of working the leg. The crowd is really into this match. You know, again, the first couple minutes, a little slow. I think that's kind of every wrestling match. I hate when we kind of say that, like, a little slow. It's like you want to build the heat up and get to a churning point. But the crowd got into this real good. Like, Brett's just a good storyteller. Like, even if the feud wasn't there and, you know, the crowd wasn't hating on Razor, like, he wasn't an evil heel, right? Like, but Brett gets the crowd into it. The near falls with the, you know, comebacks. Like, he's just so good at everything. He makes everything look smooth. Razor then started, as Brett started taking over, Razor started getting the heat. Like, I felt like the crowd was definitely more anti him. And I kind of put versus, like, we've seen him get pops on Raw and Superstars. Like, the crowd definitely was big time into Brett here. You know, good way, like, 17 minute match. Brett wins kind of in a weird way, right? They're like both on the ground. He rolls him into kind of locks his legs almost like a figure four and then flips him into the sharpshooter. So I think they were trying to tell, like, hey, he couldn't do the sharpshooter the normal way. It kind of get him grounded.
Right.
The substitute. It's definitely, the crowd didn't know it was coming. And I actually rewind to see, like, what I had missed. But the crowd pops big once he gets him, flips him over. He struggles with it, which is always awesome as well. Crowd pops big, and Brett retains. And then I put at the end, Stu and Helen were there. Stu, I put, looks happy in quotation marks and a question mark. I mean, I just want the title, no emotion, except for lightly clapping.
Right.
So, what were your thoughts on the match?
What did you give it as far as star rating goes?
I gave it 3.5.
Awesome. Yeah, I thought this, like what you said earlier about Brett telling the story, I think that was, like, the big tell on this match is, you know, like, you can have the guy work over the leg, whatever, you know, and some guys just do it just to do it. Like,
right.
It's just a formula that you have to do. But Brett does it so smart. The way he does it, like, Razor missed that knee running into the corner. So it's like, okay, he just hit his knee in the corner. Let me go attack that now. Yep. And then it's like, you could tell Brett laid out a lot of this match is, There's a part where, you know, to get Razor back on the advantage, he throws him into the ring post, like, while they're in the ring, and he kind of, like, slides them underneath the bottom rope, and Brett's ribs hit the bottom rope. So now Razor's working on Brett's ribs, you know, to go against the Razor's edge, that kind of thing. I just think it was so smartly worked. Like, you know, Brett takes, like, a dive to the outside at one point, and
awesome move.
Like, and not too many guys are even doing that. Like,
I don't think. Besides the Rockers.
In both companies.
Yeah, right. Besides the Rockers. I mean, you definitely, that was a Rocker move, right? Like, that was the old, they would do sometimes two of them. But, like, now it's, everyone does it, and everyone does move the cameraman in front of the guy. But, yeah, that was a crazy move. I forgot to put that in my notes, but that was awesome.
Yeah, and like, there's a part where Razor's picking him up, and Brett kind of, like, rolls over his back from the corner off the ropes. And that's when he, like, reverses the Razor's edge into the backslide. So it's just like all these little teases in the match that, you know, is worked in from Brett and Razor. I think Razor more than held his side. Like, he looked competent. I can't believe it's January 93 and it's the only title match he's ever gotten in the WWF, especially compared to how good this match was. Like, it's not like he came in there and shit the bed. He was over like crazy. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you've seen other guys get plenty of chances. Some guys even got the title that weren't anywhere near as over as he was and could work like he could. So it's just, that's kind of a sad part of the match that, you know, he doesn't get that chance again.
This is out of his main event run,
Right, and it's crazy. Like, it's like, really, does he even main event? Is he ever in a main event again?
Never again.
Damn, I didn't even think about that. Much less the title, he might not be in the main event.
Well, WrestleMania 90 does fight Bob Backlund, so in some people's eyes, that would be
main event. Right. So, the Iron Man, Bob Backlund. Yeah. You're right. So, yeah, this is one of those matches that, you know, like being such a big Bret fan, like people always ask me, like, what are your favorite Bret matches? And you know, instead of giving like the normal, you know, versus Austin, versus Bulldog, like the main matches, that I always mention this match because I think it's such a, like, a hidden gem. And I think because the show isn't as memorable, for certain reasons, that it's not mentioned as much. But
yeah,
I put this as 4 stars. Like, I think it's all that good of a match in my book. And I loved it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you on, you know, just a classic title events, you know, match. It just didn't have the build up. But like I said, like, Razor definitely got the heat in the match, and Bret definitely got, I mean, the crowd was hot for this. I think as hard, you know, I would say hotter than Marty and Shawn, but like in the same level, which is like every near fall and every, you know, he does, you know, his 5 moves of doom, like the crowd knew it was coming, pop for each one, you know, each pinfall, even though, you know, Bret's never won on the backbreaker, right? Like they were buying into that. Hey, he's going to take this guy down. So, I think you're up about the intermission before the big rumble.
Yes, sir. So this, so we get Bobby to give our intro to, and I think he's a little confused. He calls him Narcissus still, like C-I-S-S-U-S.
Yeah.
But then the graphic says narcissist. So I don't know what we're going with here. I'm assuming we're going with the graphic.
I think.
But yeah, it's right. It's like on the fly. Like even Luger's like, "What the hell are you calling me?" Like,
yeah,
you know, it is Lex Luger. We get the unveiling of Lex Luger. I thought this was awesome. I didn't remember this like as much as, you know, I've seen this Rumble a few times. I didn't remember this being this good. Like, Luger's run in the WWF for the most part isn't that great, but this here, like it's hard to believe that the you know, the SS Intrepid is in July.
Yep.
And this is January. It's like he's only this character for 6 months. Like, that's crazy. Because this should have gotten a long run. Like,
it was he's just such a dick. Yeah.
It's most people have said it's really him. Like, that's how he is. So that's why it was so easy. He looks insane. Like, he looks crazy physique. Like, it's just, you know, you got all the mirrors around him. He's kind of looking like a Greek god kind of character. So that's why I think like they probably told Bobby the idea of the character and everything. So that's why he was calling him Narcissus, like a Greek god kind of
thing.
Right,
yeah, I think so, yeah.
You know what I mean? So he calls him Lex Luger, the Narcissus Lex Luger. So it's like, why would you call him Narcissus? So I don't know. I guess they're...
Be wondering too, like, do they even call him that much after this? Like, or is it always Lex Luger? Like, I know that's his name, remember. But like, I'll be interested to see like what they normally call him in ring. Like, I definitely know they say Lex Luger a lot too. Like, too.
Right. So, I remember Bobby doing the whole Narcissus. Like, I remember that. It's this whole buildup that we've seen, and then it really being the Narcissist. But, and Bobby is like orgasmic about Lex. Like, he's giving him the Ric Flair treatment. The, you know, when he knows how to sell a guy. So you automatically think, this guy is a contender. He's a real deal, because, you know, Bobby's hyped up Ric Flair, and he proved out to be this, you know, champion, Rumble winner. That so he has credibility, and he's giving Lex like the treatment of he's a main eventer walking right into the perfect feud. So I thought this was well done. Lex, you know, he gives a solid promo, even though he kind of jumbles his words a little bit. He says mesomorphically at one point. I don't think that's really a word. I think he was looking for.
I liked it.
But I thought he was very good. Like, his promos, you know, he always gets shit on for that too. I thought he played the character to a T. Like, I thought they hit a home run with this one. What do you think?
I think it's just great. It was a different way of introducing a guy, like kind of the unveil, right? Like, if Bobby bringing it up, you kind of you don't bring him for an interview. You kind of have his own podium set up. You know, Bobby kind of talks to him versus, you know, like Mean Gene interviewing him. So just a different way of interesting the guy. I like it. The titty bounce that Luger does is so funny. I don't get it. I can't do it. But he looks awesome as well. In a kind of non-roided up, like we haven't seen the Warlords and stuff like that right now. He just looks super cut, right? Even compared, you know, we just saw Brett and Razor. That they're not in bad shape, but they don't look like this, right? So I think he looks awesome. Bobby sells it amazingly, you know, getting on his knees begging for another calf raise or whatever it is to end the segment. And then even, you know, we have one more segment into this, but then when Bobby gets back to Gorilla, like, he's just so joyful. He's like, I can't believe I did it. Did you see that? Like, he's just so proud of himself. I want to see how long they keep Bobby and Luger together like this, like whether he should have been his manager or hype man. Cause he did great here. It'll be interesting to see, like, was that necessary or, you know, should Bobby have been around him or like, hey, this was perfect and let him like kind of go on his own. So,
yeah, that's a good point because he's not like Luger's a solid talker, but he's kind of repetitive, you know, like he's not really like, there's not really too many dimensions to him, whereas Bobby can go up and down and kind of give you the whole spectrum. One thing you just kind of mentioned though, that I didn't think of is that when you said like, after the Bret and Razor match, that I'm actually glad they did this after the Bret and Razor match, because if you put a guy out there that's like this huge, this, you know, physically imposing, and then you put the Bret Razor match after that, it might not have looked as good in hindsight. Like, you know what I mean? You might be comparing the old era, the old Hulk era, like, oh, we want that now, you know? But, so they did it after the fact, which may not have been, you know, intentional either, but I think it was a smart move of them to do that, you know, and then kind of get this whole Caesar and Cleopatra crap to go after that. So you're kind of still fawning over Luger a little bit, you know, while this, I don't know why they had to go this far with this Caesar and Cleopatra thing. Might as well jump into that as well, unless you have more to say on the Luger.
I think covered it pretty well.
Yeah, we get a Caesar and Cleopatra come out, obviously not the real Caesar and Cleopatra, but the casting on this must have been a little off. Like, they get a pretty hot woman to play Cleopatra and a pretty Regis Philbin's son looking kind of dude to play Caesar. So I thought, I'm like, this is not a Caesar. Like, this is definitely like a, you know, a guy that gets like the cold cuts in the back or whatever for everybody. I don't know who he was, but they, you know, they're into it. At least I'll give them that. Cleopatra really didn't say anything, but you know, they're basically just announcing, you know, how the WrestleMania is going to go down in Caesar's Palace with the main event of the Rumble winner facing the champion, that kind of thing. And it just kind of, to me, it was a little unnecessary, but you know, it didn't overstay its welcome too long.
Yeah. The guy actually is a good announcer. Like, I thought he did a pretty good job, like, talking and just proclaiming it. So I'm not sure what his day job is, besides, you know, being ruler of Rome, you know, is, but he sounded pretty good. Like, I think they could have used that guy. I guess this is because Los Angeles or Las Vegas isn't too far from California, so trying to get people to go. I don't know if they were, like, planning a bigger WrestleMania. I think they sell Mania out anyways, but it's only, like, what, maybe 10,000, 15,000, like, in that parking lot. So it just kind of feels like such a weird, like, hype. Like, I don't know if they were trying to go for a bigger arena and, like, this was the big sell. But, yeah, it's definitely a weird little intro. But it was fine. It's, again, you got time before the Rumble. You're kind of giving people a chance to get their beer, merchandise, you know, get their last chance for food. It's a little bit time killer. It's fine. You know, it is what it is. It wasn't too offensive. It wasn't too long. Yeah, it wasn't too long. It is what it is.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, so Bobby then comes back up for to the Gorilla position. I feel like Gorilla wanted to take it to the back. You know, they don't do the pre-Rumble, like, caped interviews, which is kind of disappointing. I think they could have probably used that here. But instead, they kind of go to the Fink to get the Rumble started. So, but again, Bobby, like, could care less what Gorilla was saying. He was just, I can't believe
he was hyped.
He was so hyped. So I think they sold that well. Like, it was just a good kind of 5 minutes of, you know, killer time between the Caesar and this interview and the narcissist veiling. I think these are all fine and good stuff.
And the flow was kept good. Like, it was, you know, like this, the first three matches, there was no flow. It was just kind of flat. Right. You're just like, okay, this kind of sucks. Like this, you know, it's solid, but it's not really anything to kind of remember. Now between, you know, the Brett match, you saw this great match. You don't know where Razor's going to go from here, but he definitely like proved his worth. You get a guy that's new to the company, and you get like a little bit of build towards WrestleMania, and then now you get to see the Rumble that's going to lead to WrestleMania. So everything else is kind of flowing pretty good right now.
Yeah, you know, one thing we didn't really talk about there was, you know, he does kind of announce the rule that the winner is going to go to, you know, this is the first year this happens, right? And now it's, you know,
right,
tradition.
Right.
Right. The winner gets to go to WrestleMania and fight the champion. So, like, there's a prize on the line. So I think that adds to it, too. You know, of, hey, this is a big deal, even though it's coming from Caesar. It kind of way better Caesar than actually Tony coming out and saying that. So
definitely.
Now I'm giving this segment an A, because if Jack Tunney would have came out, he just would have been the whole time. So this segment gets an A, right, now. Five stars. Because Tunney would have got one, if that.
Right, exactly.
So, should we even talk a little bit? Should we do plugs now and then go to the Rumble, since I think feel like we're going to get a lot of the Rumble?
Let's go ahead and start some plugs. So first, want to give a shout out to the Extreme Three-Way Dance. I haven't really shouted them out, even though I listen to that one every other week. I love the chemistry between those three, especially Jenny on that show. Like, you know, her being like a newer a fan of wrestling, and then watching something like ECW, like just hearing her like say "oh fuck" when someone gets hit with a cane, or you know, like some, like, I just always laugh at that show, because like you could tell JT and Jay have seen ECW, maybe not to the extent, but they kind of know what to expect. But she's like all in. In here for it. So yeah, Extreme Three-Way Dance is a fun one. TNA Never Dies is fun. Jenny's on that as well with JT and Aaron. That's more of like the shit show. Like you know everything shit, but that's what makes the show entertaining, is them reacting to it. So that's always good on there too. And then Aaron, you know, he's still killing it with the year that was. He just did a 2000 and 2016 was the most recent one. And he I got him to phone, I don't know if you heard it, but I got him to correct our name of our podcast, so we're all good. Perfect. On that end, there's no more beef. Okay. You know, good. What I mean, yeah, it's not gonna end like Biggie and Tupac and not like that. It was going to, like, it was going to, but yeah we're clinging now, so we're all good, just so you know. But yeah, what you got to plug?
Yeah, so in the North South, you know, a lot of stuff, but Ruthless Aggressive Era or podcast. Sorry, it's not Era podcast. Jake's getting right into SummerSlam 02, which is like one of the best pay per views of all time. So I'm actually pumped to listen to that. That pay per view is one of my favorites. I like, it's a pay per view I didn't watch till probably like 2017. Like, I just for some reason had missed it. And it's just one of my favorite pay-per-views. So,
oh, wow. So you didn't see SummerSlam 02 till that long after the fact?
I just, like, it was that was a weird era. Yeah, it was a weird era because everyone talks so bad about it, right? It's like right after the Alliance, right. You know, the falls apart. So, and I had just stopped watching then. So like 02, 03, I really did not watch at all. And then probably when I come back through, you know, like when I kind of came back through watching others, you know, catching up on stuff, like whatever reason, I never kind of got into that era. Probably because I hate Triple H and he does take a lot of time. So that might be so. Yeah,
point taken.
Yeah.
I'm there with you on that one.
And then I got, what was the other one I wanted to do? Oh, No Holds Barred. I was just listening to it before we started, but they just did Build Your Own WrestleMania card. I don't know if you listen to that one. I'm always bad about being behind on podcasts, but I'm about halfway through that one, and pretty cool idea. I know other people have kind of done similar things, but the entire time I'm like shouting, like, what are you thinking? Why are you missing this match? Like,
right.
It is a fun kind of join along. And they watched the great WrestleMania 4 while I listened to that. So, you know, the No Holds Barred, you know, JT and Aaron are always trying out new things that I just love. The Now Anthony Rumble is still going on too. They just finally moved to 89. As well on that one. So, you know, they're starting to pick up some steam, but yeah, great, great shows. And then, you know, a ton of other ones, Warzone, is, you know, as well in the squared circle, the silver screen, you know, Logan and Cowboy started picking up on, again, that going monthly as well. So tons of stuff. And we mostly just talked about wrestling there, but there's also, The Gang Always Gets a Sunny podcast and Second Print Comics, Things for Not
There's Fits. Something for everybody.
There's something for everything, and pretty much new stuff dropping every day, sometimes two a day. So great stuff.
Yes, sir. So you ready to get on to the Rumble now?
Let's go to the Rumble, because I think we got a lot to unpack here.
Oh, yeah, I think it's your turn to start off on this
My turn to start. So we got Caesar, we got Bobby. I was disappointed to have the no pregame interviews. Kind of the classic, I'm going to win the Rumble, I'm going to throw everyone out. But they start with number one, Ric Flair, Mr. Flair, as Bobby says. Interesting from there, maybe they're trying to tease that he's going to be the Iron Man again. And then number two is Bob Backlund. So weird for him to come out number two. It's like they only have music for two guys, and you bring out one guy that has no music. So just a weird choice. No heat or no cheers, silence for Bob Backlund, former six-year world champion. Get silence. Right. He's got to be one of the biggest bombs of all time. No one cares about him. So they both dress the same. They're both the same age. It's such a weird beginning, but then number three comes Papa Shango to save the Rumble for, 30 seconds. So he's out there with a shoulder injury. They even mention it in commentary that Papa Shango's got a shoulder injury and immediately gets tossed out. So what a waste. Why is that needed? I actually put in quotation, why not Duggan? He's missing. I'm sure there's other guys we're missing too, but it just feels so weird to bring that guy out. He's not feuding with either of them. So it's just such a weird beginning. I'd say from then it really starts picking up. So number four is Million Dollar Man. Million Dollar Man and Flair double team on Backlund. The crowd actually starts getting behind Backlund. I think just because you have two super over heels, right? And Flair and Million Dollar Man teaming up on Backlund. And then number five with a massive pop, unheard of, Brian Knobbs. And the Nasty Boys aren't great in ring, but the way he runs the ring, he gets the crowd pumped up. Other guys, Tito Santana comes to mind later, where he's just a light jog. The crowd pops for him, but he's not into it. Brian Knobbs is flinging his arms around, jumping up and down as he jogs to the ring. He sells it awesome, and the crowd, he deserves that pop for just putting his effort in.
I couldn't agree more. So, watching the Rumble, I'm like, okay, this is the new generation era.
Right.
This is, we get Flair, we get Bob Backlund, we get Papa Shango, who was in there for all of 30 seconds. Then we get Ted DiBiase. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we're definitely not new generation era right now. And Brian fucking Knobbs is the one to come out and light the ring on fire. He comes out with so much energy. And this is how you're supposed to do it. Anybody can do this. He's not a great wrestler. He's not a great promo.
He's terrible. He's
not, but he comes out and gets the crowd into it. And that's why I always say, if you never watch wrestling, watch wrestling, because you'll watch this and be like, well, I like Brian Knobbs. I mean, you're going to find out that you probably don't, but at least he's getting you interested in the character. You know what I mean? Yeah, he came out on fire just going after DiBiase and Flair and helping out Backlund, which I kind of give him negative points for. But that was awesome. I have to give him credit.
He was in there 2:58.
Knobbs?
Knobbs, yeah. So 2 minutes and 58 seconds, but he made the most of it. And then he probably drank 800 beers afterwards. But he deserved all those beers.
He made a big impression.
You
don't have to be there's guys that are in here for 20 minutes or more that you don't remember anything they did, but Knobbs comes out and does this, and it's he fits in perfect, and I'll pick up a couple from here just so you're not.
Yeah. You're about to talk about a guy in there for 20 minutes, doing nothing.
Yeah. So Virgil comes out next, and he goes after DiBiase, which whatever, we're continuing that feud, but he doesn't light the same fire as Knobbs does. You see, he's going after DiBiase, though. The ring's starting to kind of fill up, so action's starting to pick up a little bit now. But then DiBiase kind of, ducks Knobbs as Knobbs is going after him, and we get an elimination where Knobbs goes over the top rope. I like that, how DiBiase just kind of, ducked out of his way.
Yep.
It showed, how crazy and out of control Knobbs was, that he just didn't care. You know, and then out next was the boss, Jerry Lawler, with some I love Lawler, but these tights were fucking hideous. I don't know what I've never seen these tights on Jerry Lawler before with all these like crowns or whatever he had all over him and crazy things. But he comes out and Lawler and Flair get into this like great back and forth exchange, which again, it's not really a new generation with Lawler, Flair, DiBiase, whatever, but at least it was like a high intensity, like you know, they're all brawling still. Everyone's kind of going back and forth. You're kind of seeing like the action of the ring. It's not too crowded. And then after that, we do get your boy Max Moon come out, who, you know, we're bringing the younger names out now with Max Moon coming out. And he's got some good offense too. Like I like how he does that spin kick in the corner. You know, he's kind of showing his stuff there a little bit. He goes to the corner another time. I believe it goes against DiBiase. I'm not sure, but he kind of eliminated himself. So he was like another elimination. And then
he got a big pop too. So the crowd definitely for the first eight is hot for anyone face. Like Knobs, you talked about, even Virgil got a good ovation too. And Max Moon definitely got a, like, you know, for a guy that's been around, you know, 4 months. So the crowd is definitely hot for anyone face. And either Bobby or Gorilla said he comes shooting in, which I laughed at the cheesy Max Moon pun or whatever. But he did. I think that's a guy that could have been there longer, some more high filing spots. But his elimination was kind of cool. You know, got over cocky over, you know, trying to do the flying. You get eliminated.
Right.
Okay, makes sense. You want to do 9 and 10 then? Why don't you do 9 and 10?
Yeah, we'll bring the crowd back down a little bit.
Yep.
And, Tenryu comes out. I really don't know if he's face or heel. We haven't really seen him on TV or anything. Dead silence when he comes out. They do like a little chop exchange with him and Flair, go back and forth. So it's like, what's weird is, you know, Flair's got the retirement match, you know, the next night on Raw, but he's like one of the main focuses so far of this Rumble. Like, anyone that comes in kind of brawls with him, you know, like all these guys from different territories, they've worked with Flair before. He's kind of like the focal point. You know, you get Backlund still in there, but he's just kind of like the hanging on to the guy's ankles kind of offense. You know, he's not really doing much, but Flair is really the focal point. And then next we get another high energy entrance. Perfect comes flying out. Like Perfect is jacked up right now. Like he's ready to come out there and whoop Flair's ass. Like he comes flying out to the ring. Him and Flair go back and forth. It's wild as hell. Like this now, it's like Perfect. Knobs was cool. Knobs was like the, you know, he hyped it up. He stopped the lull that was going on. Perfect has made it seem real now because he's like a guy that you feel can win the Rumble.
Can win it, right? Yep.
You know, and he's got a feud. So it's like, okay, now I'm locked in. Now I'm ready to see what the story is going to be. This isn't just guys coming out every minute or two. This is, you know, developing into something serious now. So you go ahead and take it from there.
Yeah, I mean, let's see if I have any other notes. I put eruption for him, right to Flair. At that point, he had to be the favorites. Flair, of course, 2 minutes in, does his immediate go to the top rope and get tossed out. Like, it's the most dangerous move in a Rumble, but immediately Flair does it, of course, never hits it. Always one of my favorite gags. I don't know what I put here. I don't know, but it's something about Flair and Perfect. But yeah, I kind of put, I think my note is that Flair is like out here for a while to begin with. And I think maybe what could have been cool, and I know you didn't want to get rid of Perfect this way, but like I feel like maybe Flair should have knocked out Perfect to set up their match, like really set up their match. I know it's pre-taped and stuff, but for the next night, they talked about it a little bit, but maybe could have added some heat there and end them like both brawling to the back. Like I think you could have added something there versus how Perfect got thrown out. I don't know if you had anything.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not gonna have them win it, you know, like why not do that? You know what I mean? Like why not build the feud? I like that because then it's like, when what happens does happen the next night on Raw, is like, okay, he got his payback. That's like, yeah, that's actually very smart. I wish they would have done that now.
Yeah, because it's interesting. I have a note there, but for some reason, King kind of eliminates him and they start a feud there. So if you think about it, Perfect has three feuds going on, right? He's got Flair here. Now he's setting one up with Jerry the King Lawler. And in the Narcissist, we didn't talk about it, but, you know, Bobby's making fun of Perfect, a guy in the back scared, and Luger says something about Perfect. So, like, Perfect's got three different feuds going on at the time. So I feel like maybe didn't need it with King. Like, let Flair and Perfect kind of run their course and then go to Lex Luger. But,
yeah, definitely.
So then we get Skinner, who they announce a little bit of silence there too for Skinner, that he's just happy to be there, which is hilarious. Skinner, I that's all my notes I have on him. And then we get another face, another face coming in hot with number 12, Coco Beware. He runs down running crazy, pulling the pants up the entire run down the aisle. It's so funny. But Coco's another guy with a lot of energy. He knows how to get the crowd over. He immediately goes to the corner, does the 10 count punch thing to King, which gets the crowd massively over on it. Like, the crowd was counting big for that. So I think a good spot there by Coco. You get 13. So they're kind of, it looks like they're almost, I think, alternating right now, face versus heel. Because 13, you get, I actually didn't write which head shrinker it was. But you kind of get a cool thing where Samu, yeah, I was about to say, they fought two later, but Samu, Afa kind of running him down, and then Afa's, I think, pretty cool here, where he just, like, flings them into the ring. So I think, like, setting them up as, like, these, like, crazy savages, but they're not treated, like, dumb, like our boy Kamala.
Right.
So I think it's kind of a cool way of getting him in there, like he's going to go dominate. So you got Samu in there then, and then you got Berserker, number 14, which I just put, let him win. He looks awesome. He's actually, he's another guy, like, you know, compare that to him to Skinner. Like, he's hustling down the whole way. In the match, he's flying around. Like, I think he's got a really good performance in the Rumble. When Berserker comes out, they're starting to get the clearing of the ring. You get, which is weird, Coco, well, I don't know what he's doing, heel turn, but actually works to get Mr. Perfect thrown out.
So right? That was weird.
It was DiBiase and Coco working together to get Perfect out. Like, so just, again, I kind of put, this is where I have my note about Perfect, just having too many feuds. You got Luger, King, and Flair all at the same time. So maybe they were just trying to use Perfect to set a bunch of guys up, but I feel like that should just been Flair Perfect's feud to kind of get them both eliminated. I don't know if you have any other comments, because then we get to the big spot of the Rumble.
Yeah, so, like, I did say, like, I had noted here that youth is starting to enter the Rumble. Like, first you started with, like, the Flairs, the Backlunds, the DiBiase, yep. Lawlers, but now you're getting Coco come out. You got Samu's, like, a younger guy, Berserker, like, younger stars coming out, kind of, you know, offsetting the older characters a little bit. So I was a little happy with that. I do have a little note here that's saying that Skinner did skin the cat, so that was kind of a...
Oh, yeah, he did.
He's living up to his name, Skinner.
And then so, he immediately gets... I thought it was actually a cool spot, right? Does he immediately get eliminated? It's like all that hard work, right?
Yep, so then Perfect, you know, throws out Lawler. Then, like you said, the whole mad scramble, everybody goes over to throw out Perfect, and then Perfect brawls with Lawler. So normally, like you said, that would build their feud towards, like, WrestleMania or something, which doesn't happen. But yeah, it's kind of weird that he's got a little too much going on, but all that kind of doesn't matter after what's about to happen next. So why don't you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so we got number 15, Undertaker. King's walk, an awesome visual. King's walking to the back, and Undertaker heads out, and King just gives this look and, like, backs up. It's an awesome look, kind of like, oh my, better get out of here. So Taker comes out. And, you know, they kind of joke about the empty of the pool, you know, moments, but he immediately chokeslams Samu. You have, like, this might be one of the best, like, 5 minutes, I think, in Rumble, because you got Berserker. I don't know. He thinks still in it, but somehow Backlund, I don't know if you had a good note of how Backlund ends up not going over the top rope, but somehow Backlund ends up on the floor. Berserker's attacking him with a chair.
Yep.
Taker's a beast, just tossing everyone. For some reason, DiBiase eliminates Coco Beware. I guess they had Berserker. Who else he eliminates? I don't remember.
Terry Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't get to Terry Taylor yet.
Well, he came out next. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably didn't want to talk about him. That's probably why. But it's like weird. Taker didn't get him. But, like, you have this chaotic, like, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes where just Taker looks like a beast. You got Berserker with a chair. Yeah. DiBiase, I don't know if the word beast there, but he eliminates two guys as well. So you kind of got this chaos. Million Dollar Man, Taker tries doing a choke slam on Million Dollar Man. Didn't go so well. I don't know if the Million Dollar Man didn't help him out, but he barely got him up. So much is going on. Berserker looks awesome. Berserker then gets back in the ring and tries a flying tackle at Taker. Taker tosses him out. Terry Taylor then comes down to, again, I actually missed him. That's what I put. What a bum. Number 16. I literally missed because I was like, I went back to see it. I'm like, I missed a guy. He lasted 28 seconds, or 24 seconds. Papa Shango lasted longer than him and had one shoulder.
Justifiably so.
Yeah. I mean, what a bum. Like, one, for getting him, and then two, for the shortest time in this Rumble. So he immediately gets eliminated by DiBiase. Again, I kind of put here a note of why it's weird that DiBiase, eliminates both Coco and Terry Taylor. Maybe because they want Taker thrown out, faces. But
yeah. Or maybe DiBiase doesn't like birds.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Coco and Red Rooster.
Yeah, there. Get the so rooster.
Right. He's not a big poultry fan.
Yeah, so, and this entire time, I mean, it's from Berserker till when Taylor comes out, the crowd is just going nuts. Like, Taker, do you think he got the biggest pop of the night?
Yeah, I think so.
I think, yeah.
I definitely think so.
So the crowd was just going nuts for this. And for this 5 minutes, I thought it was some of the best Rumble action they've kind of ever had. Definitely up to this point, but, even, easily. Long term, there's just so much going on. It's chaotic. You don't know what's going to happen. I think even with the guys like Berserker in there, and Samu, they're making things happen. So it's an awesome 5 minutes, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. And everyone kind of just played the role of, Taker comes out and he's kind of this ass kicker. Okay, everyone's kind of just been, doing their own little thing until now. Like, everyone's kind of just, wrestling in the corners, eliminations, whatever. But yep. Taker comes out and he's just like, let's get this shit going. Like, he's just tossing, dude. Like, the way he chokeslams Samu, over the ropes.
It was awesome.
Everything was just so visually dominant, And then, of course, the way this is booked, I agree. This is some of the best, just action in the Rumble history because, especially what happens next. Like, the way it's laid out, Taker's dominating. You're getting yourself geared up okay, yeah, I can buy Taker going to WrestleMania and fighting Bret. He's earned it. He's been a champion before. So, yeah, I'm with it. Perfect's already gone. So, Taker's the guy. But out comes Giant Gonzalez with Harvey Whippleman, who was the bomb that was mentioned before, I'm assuming. When he said he had a bomb coming out, I'm assuming that was Giant Gonzalez.
Yep.
This guy, he is massive. So this character and his outfit gets shit on. And whatever, I don't really care about that. The way he comes out and the way he looks was perfection. This was awesome because the way they book this, right? So it's not just right. This big imposing character comes out and attacks the Undertaker. It's the Undertaker just killed the roster, and then this guy just comes out and kills the guy that killed the roster. So it's you're putting him over without even having to do much. It's we get Kane, you get Kane's debut. Undertaker's already fought a match for a long time. Kane comes out, does a shitty tombstone. It's cool, but it's not the same. You don't know who Giant Gonzalez is. You don't know why he's here, but you know that he just towered over the Undertaker and just beat the living shit out of him, left him laying, eliminated him out of the Rumble. You don't know if Giant Gonzalez is in the Rumble. You don't know if he's going to go after the title eventually because he's so unstoppable. You just don't know. But you just know that Undertaker clearly threw all these guys over the top rope, and this guy just came over and just manhandled the Undertaker. So it's you've never seen the Undertaker get treated like that before. So I thought this was effective as hell. I thought they did this perfectly. I don't remember this being this good. And I thought this was, some of the best booking they've done that we've seen so far. In general, of this whole run, I think this was perfect. And, before I move on to any other characters, because this moment was so big, what do you think about this?
Yeah, so, I mean, I like, too, that it's part of this chaos. You have this 5 minutes of, just, like I said, Berserker with the chair pulling up the ring, you know, the outside, like it's just kind of chaos going on. And all of a sudden Gonzalez comes out and like, I think, right, you don't even know if he's a participant. You kind of hit that. I love that point that he made. Like, there was no clock for him, so was he a participant? Like, no one kind of knows because so much is going on. So, and then you get even Monsoon and Bobby, you know, don't know who he is. Bobby, of course, says he's 20 or 30 feet tall, which is, you know, hilarious. But, right, you know, but, you know, Bobby's asking who he is and, you know, Gorilla with his classic, why don't you get down there, you broadcast journalist? You know, the classic Gorilla line. But I think they just, like, sold it, too, as well. It's like they had no idea. Even, I think it took, like, a minute or two before Bobby's like, is that Harvey? Is that Harvey? You know, they're kind of, you know, it's just a chaotic moment. Like, you don't know what's happening. You know, Gonzalez, okay, he isn't the best at his punches and his things, but he throws Taker into the stairs. You never see that. He does the, you know, ring post spot to Taker, which you don't really see. You never saw anyone do that to Taker. Taker, you know, A-plus job selling as well. But they just made Gonzalez look like a beast. So I know you're going to crap on him, but number 17 came out Demento, and I'm gonna say he did a good job kind of lurking in the aisle. Like, he doesn't come into the ring, he doesn't try to enter. Like, you actually see him in the background, like hanging out. Like, what the, I don't know what this is. I want no part of it. I know it's a planned spot, but like, I think that's a pretty cool idea, right? You could have had, in other times, they would have had like someone come in and kind of like make it a goof or something. Like, no, this was so serious that guys weren't even ready to enter the ring. So, I think they did a good job of that.
Yeah, and that's what I do have written down about Demento is that he's done his best work yet by actually not getting in the ring. So, you know, like, anytime he doesn't get in the ring, like that was a 5-star wait in the aisle moment. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he killed it. That was perfect. I miss all the chaos. You know, you got Giant Gonzalez. Like, you have Demento come out. And that's the other part of this booking that's perfect, is Demento comes out while this is going on, and IRS comes out while this is going on, and they're two guys that you really don't care about. Like, you know, so the booking is perfect because you can still kind of focus on, you know, Giant Gonzalez taking apart the Undertaker while these guys come in. It's not like, you know, Flair's coming out. It's not like someone huge is coming out and you're like kind of distracted. So I think that was perfect too. You know, so like, you know, Giant Gonzalez kind of leaves him laying there. IRS comes out, then Tatanka's out, who's got a nice little pop, and then Jerry Sags comes out. He's pretty fired up too, kind of like Knobs was. But you know, you're kind of like getting settled back in, but you're like wondering, like, what the hell just happened? Like, you know, is it getting back to normal a little bit with Tatanka, IRS, Demento come out, Sags, even Typhoon comes out, which, you know, it's kind of slowing down a little bit now with him coming out. You know, you get another big guy come in. He's, even though he's like one of the big guys of Rumble, he doesn't seem like a credible contender to the Rumble. Like, he's just, you know, just there. Like, he's just taking up a lot of space. But yeah, you're after that, you're kind of digesting it. You're kind of settling back in, which was smart. Like, this slowing down isn't a bad thing. Like, I think it's smart. Like, I think it's smart to kind of, you know, don't do too much after that. Kind of let that moment settle in, and then
even during those guys, right? They kind of have Paul Bearer come out, right, to help the Taker. So Taker sells for a while. Like, I don't think he's gone until Sags enters. So like, it's a good 10 minutes. Taker's selling the, you know, injury. So I think that helps out as well. As like, okay, everyone's just like, oh, what's happened to Taker? So you kind of got people focusing on that as well. You probably put all the right guys out there. Even IRS, like, I like the way that, like, when they finally get Gonzalez out of there, like, Demento and IRS, like, attack Backlund. I don't think Backlund's over the way they wanted it. Like, he was going to be the superhero and people are going to get behind him. But I kind of like that they were, like, both just like, we got to take this guy out. Like, he's the guy we got to get to. So I like that spot as well.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you. So you want to go ahead and take it from there?
Yeah, so we got, Typhoon, I did write that, you know, Bobby messes up his name and calls him Buffoon, which I'm sure he uses every time, but Typhoon Buffoon, which I had to write down because it's funny. You got Fatu come out, so I like that Afa again, like, brings him out of the ring. He actually starts beating him up this time and then tosses him into the ring. So, you know, getting the Savages ready. And then we got Earthquake coming in at 23. Big pop for him. But interesting here that they They go Earthquake, Typhoon. You know,
yeah,
get all the big guys. I mean, I guess, you know, Vince's wet dream, right, of two fat guys fighting.
Right.
But, you know, the crowd was definitely, I kind of put here, the crowd kind of died a little bit for this. Like, I think they thought it was going to be a big angle, and it just wasn't. You know, we've kind of talked about the natural disasters, like his faces, they're a little weird. And the angle kind of didn't go over, and obviously it leads to nothing. So they break him up, but for no reason. So I don't know.
It could have been a cool accidental clothesline or whatever. It wasn't none of that. It just, like, they just went after each other. Like, that was very weird.
Yeah, it could have been. You know, you got the awesome moment at 89 where, you know, Axe and Smash fight, right? Like, and the crowd doesn't know what to think of it. It's like, had negative on that, right? Like, it was just, it was pretty silent. So I kind of put the crowd kind of died out a little bit in this section. I think you're right. They needed that time alone, but, like, I think they thought this moment was going to be awesome. And I just think no one cared.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did expect this Earthquake and Typhoon battle to kind of get the crowd back into it. You know, it just didn't work. Like, it was just, you know, nothing really of note. It was just the two big guys. And mainly because, you know, they're just plotting at this point. Like, they're not, you know, in a rumble, like, unless it's just those two in the ring, there's not really much they can do. Or there's just not enough room, you know. They're huge as hell. So it's like, you know, you're really not. There's another showdown later that's a lot better than this one is. Yeah, so far it's, you know, it's, you're kind of just getting back to a little bit of a lull, it seems like.
Yep. You want to go for the youngster next?
Yeah. So we get so there is a miss splash by Typhoon, though. He is eliminated, so he's out of there. He tried to splash Earthquake in the corner, and then we do get the. Speaking of new generation, we do get a youngster in Carlos Colon out of Puerto Rico. You know,
yes, representing. Shot. Yep, representing.
Yeah. Right. So the whole country is on his side here. As he comes out, and he's actually is a hero because he does eliminate Damian Demento. So kudos for Carlos Colon. Like, you know, all the matches he's had with Abdullah the Butcher, Brody, that shit don't matter. You come in and eliminate Damian Demento, like, you're one of the up and coming youngsters I'm looking for.
So let's see, do we got an award winner right now? And
yeah, he's up there. I mean, the fact that I look at my notes and read colon instead of clone kind of takes it down a little bit. But, yeah, he comes out, does a great job. Tito's out next. Tito Santana. So it's like, okay, that's the only thing that's kind of a little messed up with this rumble is, you know, the youth movement. Like, you had the older guys and the youth guys, and now it's kind of trending back towards the older guys again instead of more of a mix. So it's just a little, like, Tito comes out and he's just not, like, inspired at all. Like, the crowd's really not into him, in my opinion. He's, you know, he's over to an extent, but it's just like,
he gives a lazy run. Like, compare his run to Perfect and the Nasty Boys. Like, he's just like,
or even Coco, like, how stupid Coco looked when he came out there. At least he was into it, you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
It's like, come on, come out there, and, you know, you're not gonna kill yourself in this rumble, so give some kind of a effort, you know. It was, so as Tito's coming out, Backlund takes out Fatu, which I don't understand that. You know, leave Fatu alone. He's just, Backlund doesn't really deserve to eliminate anybody either. Rick Martel comes out, who's not really been featured that much either, and he kind of battles with Tito, which I think was cool. Like, they kind of keep that line going, you know, with Tito and Martel. So at least it gives Tito something to kind of get into a little bit. And I did note that the crowd is starting to pick up a little bit now as they start brawling. And then Earthquake throws out IRS while that's going on. And then while, you know, another lull is hit, out comes Yokozuna to, like, a holy shit reaction to the crowd. Like, you can tell when the crowd's seen the guy on TV, and then when they see him in person and how huge he is, they're just looking like, holy shit. Like, he comes out and the crowd is just glued to him as he comes out. And, you know, he gets in the ring, he throws out Tatanka, Carlos Colon. He's just going, you know, flipping dudes over. He's looking dominant as hell. And then we get the standoff with Earthquake, and the crowd is actually hype into this one. Like, this, this is, you know, I think they wanted to do it with Typhoon and Earthquake, especially because they're a tag team, but they didn't buy it. But this one, Yoko does his, like, his sumo standoff. Earthquake does his little stomp. The crowd is going crazy. So what did you think about this standoff here?
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was all for it. You know, they kind of did a good job of getting a couple guys eliminated to make some space for them, right? To have the ring kind of to themselves, but not be alone. So
right.
I like that. The Earthquake did some splashes in the corner. You know, the crowd was going for like, oh man, he's going to knock him down. And then Earthquake or Yoko tries a belly to belly.
Yeah.
To eliminate him. Oh man, you know they wanted to do that spot so bad. Like you can tell.
Awesome.
It would have been awesome. Luckily Yoko didn't eliminate himself or break the ring rope. Like he kind of botched it a little bit. So it's kind of lucky that it ended up the way it did. But the crowd like popped for it even afterwards. Like after Yoko did it. Like the crowd was definitely like, man, he just picked up a 400-pound man like nothing and threw him over. I know it wasn't what they were going for, but the crowd like almost gave Yoko some appreciation.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad of a botch, like to where they didn't buy it. It still, and the reason why it seems so real still is because it was Earthquake. It's like, okay, you're not just gonna be able to do whatever you want to someone that size. So they still, the fact that he was still able to do that looked cool, you know.
Yeah, I did write that Yoko after that looked gas. Like I don't blame him. Like I tried deadlifting, you know, 100 pounds. I'm like going for water. So Yoko definitely. You know, stamina is going to be an issue. He looks thin here too. Like, I think it's just because of, but he just looks in like good shape, which is funny saying for a 500-pound man. I think what they could have done was bring him in earlier, but I think they were worried about him gassing him out too early. Right. So I think like,
oh, I'm sure.
I think this could have been a better rumble with him coming in at 20 or 21 and kind of getting some more guys out. You know, they save him to number 27, but I think they were just worried about him running out of gas too early, which I think leads to that kind of like lull we talked about.
Right.
I think the only other thing I had was, you know, the through line of the Rumble, we haven't talked about him much because he's a bum, but was Backlund. So was, I have it my note during Tito, but they show a shot of him. I think after he shows out Fatu, but he is just gassed. But
the guy is
43. Like this is pretty impressive. You know, just staying in there. I know he hasn't done everything, but like, I think, definitely, you got to give him some props at 43, like being in that shape. And even Bobby at this point, yeah, he's moving the whole time. And even Bobby at this point, started, you know, kind of giving him like, this is a world champion, like he's someone to take seriously. I think we've clowned on him a lot, but at that point, I definitely think that was a cool visual. The crowd still wasn't behind him yet, but I did want to bring that up. That like, it is pretty, as much as he looks like death, like it's pretty awesome that he's still moving around, like you said, in the ring. So. I think that's the through line they were trying to really build for this Rumble. It really doesn't work till the end, but now you kind of got two through lines. I think you got, with three guys left, you got Yoko kind of being this dominant, you know, looks like the number one winner, and you got Backlund, who's been in there forever, looking to like refound his glory.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I do give Backlund props because, you know, he, for someone to not be over, like he's definitely not over, but still work the whole time. Like he could have, you know, he could have said, screw it, you know, I'm not over, I'm not really going to care that much, and just kind of lay here the whole time. He was still active the whole time. So
yep.
I definitely do give him props on that, you know. And you know, but now it's like that really just doesn't even matter now that Yoko's out. Like he's the focus of the Rumble, you know.
Yep.
he's the guy that you say, like, if you didn't think before like Yoko had a shot at winning this, like if you didn't think like they were going to push him, you see it now. Like, you see, like, oh, shit, he's a star. Like, they're building him perfect. Everything they've been doing, all these squash matches, everything's been leading up to this, and this is, you know, perfect so far. So, yeah, we while this is all going on, Owen comes out to not really, like, a huge pop. He just kind of comes out and, you know, does his thing. And then everyone's kind of, like, ganging up on Yoko and trying to do, like, the whole eliminate the big man thing.
Yeah,
he just throws everyone off. So he's just looking dominant as hell. Repo Man's out next. You know, he's awesome. I love Repo Man, but he doesn't really do much when he gets in there. At least I didn't write down anything that he kind of does.
I wrote three pages down for Repo Man. I said, well, first, yeah. Just give him the title.
Exactly. Yep. And then Savage came out to a huge pop. Like Savage is, you know, one of the mainstays. Savage was number 30, right?
He was last. Yeah, 30. One. Yep, last one. Yep.
Yep. But I don't remember Savage and Repo really getting into it, unless I didn't write that down. When
they should have.
Right. Well, they just feuded. He stole his damn hat. Like, come on. You know, you booked them together. They came out one after another. So that was kind of weird.
To, yeah. And they didn't bring up they were fighting the next night because I think they've already announced that match, right? So, like, you gotta.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird thing. I just real quick on Owen, he didn't sell the knee at all or any injury, right? So why is he out there? Like my coach is, where's Duggan again? And even Kamala.
Exactly.
I know we've shit on Kamala, but like, it's just weird. I do like Bobby did say it was kind of funny. You don't really think about this. This shows you how big of a bum kind of Owen was, but it's like Bobby says, I like Owen's chances. And it's just like thinking like, oh, Brett and Owen at WrestleMania 9 sounds so unthinkable. But then they have like one of the best matches ever a year later. So like, it's crazy how quickly, you know, I know it's a year and a half, but like how big of a bum Owen looks at this time and how much he changes his character the next year.
Right. That trans, and that's going to be fun to watch. Like the transformation he takes over is like, you know, goes from this like middling, you know, nothing character really that no one really even cares about. Like he does a couple cool flashy moves, but he's not like anything to, you know, sit and digest and be like, okay,
world title contender, no something. Way.
Right. Yeah, world right, title exactly.
contender, like no way. Like it's like comedy almost, you know, when Bobby's saying that. But
exactly. So we do have, you know, the stage is set now. Everyone's in the Rumble.
Yep.
To me, Savage and Yoko are like the only contenders left in the ring. Like I always, you know, when the 30th guys hit, I was like, okay, who's realistically gonna win this? You know, and I feel like those are the two. Yoko tosses Tito out real quick. Owen drop kicks Sags to get him out, so they give him a little shine. And then Yoko tosses Owen with like this sick ass bum. Like Owen just got flung to the outside.
Yep. Sick like bum. Dangerous.
Then he knocks Repo Man out. So you know, we're starting to thin the Rumble out a little bit. And now you got Martel, Backlund, Yoko, and Savage. That's a pretty solid final four, I would say. Yeah, for the
especially the way they're building Rumble. Up, especially where they build up Backlund, right? Like this this guy that's been there for a while. Like it's kind of a cool ending.
Exactly. So, what are your thoughts on how the rest of this Rumble played out?
Well, I was just gonna say the Owen bump is sick. I mean, like he. Uh-huh. Whips him so hard, and I would be shocked if Owen was injured after this. I'm not sure, but that didn't look good. Like the ref definitely.
They never talk about that one either. Like you know Taka Michinoku got thrown out, and
on
his face. Like this one was up there with. It might not be as good as that one, but this one's up there, and it never gets talked about. I was like, when it happens.
Yeah, he whips him so fast. I think we got good final four. So then we get. You know, Savage hasn't done much. Like you said, like he should have had a hot feud with Repo. Really doesn't, just kind of in there. But the crowd's definitely for him. Backlund throws out the model, which is a cool, you know, get rid of an old school guy. And then Backlund kind of does like a crazy look, like I might actually win this. And the crowd finally, an hour and 2 minutes into his run, starts lightly cheering for him, I would say. But then he starts to attack Yoko. And the crowd does get behind him like, oh, man, this guy's going to do it. So it took an hour of time, but the crowd finally bought in on Yoko or on Backlund. Any thoughts on Backlund there? Or
no, I agree. Like it did take a while, but he did earn it. You know, he eventually earned it. So, you know, I give him kudos for sticking with it the whole time and kind of, you know, being that through line for the whole Rumble, being a veteran, willing to sacrifice himself at the end and.
Yep.
You know, help get this monster over. So I'll give him kudos for that.
Yeah, it was kind of a weak elimination spot, though. I felt like for a guy that had been there, like, I think he just kind of runs at him and Yoko just kind of lightly tosses him over. Like, I don't know what you could have done differently. I don't know if Yoko was gassed yet already, but just kind of like this guy they build up for this time and then just kind of weakly goes away. The crowd gives him a pop as he exits out and you're left with Yoko and Macho as the final two.
Yeah, and they have a nice little match between them. You know, like it's, you know, a lot of times you either get like a quick elimination with the last two, or you get some kind of like a match between the two almost.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a solid little match. Like it started to get me thinking, like, you know, okay, like Brett's going to be the main event. Which one of these two is going to be like? If I didn't know any better, like, okay,
yeah,
you know, are they going to put a face versus face? I think it would be cool passing of the torch, like Savage versus Brett. but they're obviously building up this monster heel in Yoko. And, you know, he finally, we get the moment where Savage is knocking down Yoko and he does this elbow drop. And this moment gets shit on a lot, right? But in yep. context, in context, I thought about this. Like, Savage is so, when he finally gets on offense, he's finally wailing away on Yoko and gets him down. He's so fast paced and he's so like out of his mind when he gets the top yep, rope manic. And hurries up, gets up there and hits the elbow drop. You're instinctually, you're going to pin somebody. So I don't think it's as bad as people say it is. Like, when you watch this like, if you see the spot itself, it's stupid as hell. Like, why are you pinning somebody in a rumble? But when you see how manic he is and how like fast he's moving around, he's like, oh crap, I gotta get this big guy down. You know, not finally someone knocks Yoko down, hits the elbow drop. Yeah, your instinct is to pin him. So it's not as bad as I've always killed this spot, but to me, it wasn't as bad. You know, Yoko just kind of presses him over the top, gets the elimination, wins the Rumble, and Yoko just feels like a star. Like, he's crowned, like, this is his moment. I just feel like, holy shit, like, they've built this star perfect. Like, they've done it right with him the whole time. Like, from A to B, everything's been perfect for Yokozuna.
Yeah. I kind of like where you brought that up, because I would never, I would just have shit on it. If you don't, if people remember 92, he eliminates himself, you know, an accident, because he's so crazed.
Right.
So I kind of like that, you know, like, about his character, like, he is crazed. It is kind of silly, like, on its own, like, a move. I don't know if it puts Yoko over the strongest either to win that way. Like,
that's the problem.
You know, right. I think that's one thing about it, like, that it doesn't make him look strong. Like, he just tossed the best wrestler. He kind of won in a fluke. I don't know if anyone thinks that way, but it is kind of weird to, like, do that. Especially because, like, Savage is not going to be around for a while, like, wrestling. Like, it's going to be a while before he fights. Like, he's definitely not in Mania. I don't know when his next pay-per-view match is, but, like, I don't know.
Mania. Probably the next Mania.
Right? Probably the next Mania. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it could be. I think so. Maybe the next Rumble. He's probably in 94's Rumble, if I think about it. But, yeah, next match is definitely Mania. So, like, it's weird to kind of have him, the guy, like, passing the torch and not go, like, not go over strong on the move. I don't hate it. It doesn't ruin anything, but it is just kind of a weird spot. And they kind of, I don't think, bring it up much. So I think it's like, oops, maybe that wasn't such a good idea. To,
right.
Because you have such a better visual. You know, I mean, you already saw that with the Owen Hart elimination. Like, what if he threw Savage out or something like that? Like, oh, man, he got rid of, you know, the two-time champion. So I think they kind of missed on that end, but I kind of like your reasoning that, like, it's not the stupidest ending of all time.
Yeah, and if you would have asked me this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I'd have been like, God, I can't stand the finish to this match. Like, I wish they would have done something different. And I still wish, like you said, it doesn't put over Yoko the best. Like, I still wish they would have come up with something else. But I just don't feel like it's as egregious as it gets credit for, because you gotta take the character into account. Like, you gotta... This is something Savage would do. Like you said, with the 92 Rumble, he threw himself out. Like, he just does not care. He's willing to do anything to get the title shot, basically. So, yeah, the crown, the main event of Mania is set now. You know, we got to have Yoko versus Brett for the championship. So, you know, I think we're headed to a solid main event.
Yep. I don't know how to do a grade on this Rumble. It's kind of a weird Rumble. Like, I kind of graded, like, maybe three spots, right? Like, the beginning is kind of like a 2.5. The middle with the Taker stuff, you know, I'd say like 4, 4.5 stars. And the kind of the ending, you know, maybe like a 2. So maybe the average is out to like 3.5, 3. It's not a terrible Rumble, but there's just some bad spots, I think, to it.
Yeah, I think, like, the you know, even a bad Rumble's decent to watch, right? Like, because it's always moving. But there is some lulls in the action. But I think, like, if the lulls weren't met up with the highs that they were met up with, it would have brought it down a lot more. But since it was kind of almost booked the way it was, I think it came out good. And I do agree with you on your grades, like, as far as, like, breaking it up. I just think that Undertaker... That stretch, like, if anybody hasn't seen the Royal Rumble from 93, it's not like this, you know, blowaway show. You know, I'm not going to overhype it or anything like that, but I do suggest to check that part out, because, you know, you get like, chaos. Yeah, just watch it until then, even, you know, you get the chaos, and especially when Gonzalez comes out, who I could not care less about before this started, but now I'm like bought in. Like I'm ready to see what he's going to do next. You know, as goofy as he looks. And I think that's where they dropped the ball, is you didn't have to go that far with that look, especially with how you presented him, because he comes out like a monster. Like he could have, you know, come out with a singlet on and still been effective or whatever, the way it booked him. So I think they kind of missed the boat a little bit on that. Like, you know, they did an injustice to him pretty much. But yeah, overall, I think it was pretty solid Rumble. The show itself, what do you think you give a grade for the entire show? Like out of 10?
A 10? Maybe, I don't know, six and a half.
I was thinking the same.
I was going to say six too,
because I think the first half was like it was kind of down, but the Brett match is awesome. The Narcissist, and like I consider that a segment. I think that was awesome. I think the Rumble was good and great in spots and good in others. So I think it was a little bit better than in the middle. Yeah, I went with a six too.
Yeah, I feel like the first hour needed the Marty win to really like, okay, something happened on it. I know those early Rumbles, 91, 90, like nothing happens on the first hour, but it could have really used that Marty win, I think, to really then, you know, kind of have like, you know, three parts. You got the Marty win, a big moment. You have the Brett Razor, good match. You have the Rumble with the Chaos and kind of Yoko winning. I think all could have done. Again, I kind of go back to like, I don't know many pay-per-views that had more heels winning than faces, like just a, especially at this time period, like that never happens. So kind of like it was kind of a weird pay-per-view, and that it's not, you know, your typical of Hogan ends the night celebrating no matter what type show. But I don't know, pretty good. What'd you give the Rumble? I don't think I got your grade. Or if you
I went the same as you as far as breaking it down. I like the beginning. The middle was borderline 5 stars just for the booking alone, and an average end. So yeah, I went the same as you. And one thing I was thinking about with this Rumble is, you know, like 93 in general, the booking is kind of, you know, missing that like huge moment that makes the crowd happy, and it just feels like they really dropped the ball with the Marty segment here, because you could have made this show like such a memorable show just by doing that alone, because then now everyone will go back and be like, yeah, that Brett Razor match was awesome, and, oh yes, yeah, when, you know, Giant Gonzalez debuted, Yokozuna,
I saw a title change, yep,
right, you'd have done that just by one booking decision. So it's crazy to look back in hindsight and see how one little, you know, decision could have changed the whole card.
Yep, agreed. Some award. Well, the other thing I had in my notes was they end up with like a little jazzy, super jazz music, which is weird. Show clips of the thing, but then they have Brett and Yoko kind of following up backstage, trying to start to build up their Mania match. They don't have sound on there. I don't know if you had sound on yours. I didn't hear anything. So
no, I didn't hear anything.
It's okay. I guess you get Yoko and Brett starting the feud, but. They definitely do things better other years with the kind of winning the championship, right, winning the Rumble. So I think they're just trying to figure out, okay, what do we do to kind of set these two up?
It's definitely the beginning of a new era. So it's definitely like they're trying to find their footing. They really don't know exactly which way they want to go. Like,
right.
You know, like even just in general in the company, you know, you got, okay, Brett's the champion. We're going to go with the workhorse. We're going to go with that style, but wait a minute. Yoko just won the Rumble. He's a 500-pound dude. Are we going to go back to the big guys? Like, they're kind of in between what they really want to do. And then, as we'll see in the main event of WrestleMania 9, they really don't know what the hell they want to do. So, yeah, it's going to be a little interesting to see how, you know, the TV shows themselves play out in between all of this.
Yep. I know we got a great one next week. For the first the Raw after the Rumble, so I'm pumped about that, and the big blow off to the Repo Man Savage, so I can't wait.
Yeah that's gonna be huge. So you might get some awards for the
show.
Let's
go to awards. So I got first off, most new gen outfits.
Oh, that's definitely Marty Jannetty.
All right, good choice.
Yeah, that's easy.
I went Coco running with his pants up to his neck.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He looks ridiculous, and he sold it so well, so good. Most new gen performer, I have Yoko. I thought he just dominated the Rumble for the short time he was in there. He looks awesome, looks massive. Like I said, looks skinny. I think I'm gonna give it to him.
I'm gonna go Brett, because he's working the, you know, the title matches different than.
yeah,
you know, they've ever been worked in the company before. So I'm gonna go Brett on this because it's the changing of the guard, you know, with the style that he's working. So I'm gonna go Brett.
All right, then we got worst match / segments.
Oh, that's Boss Man and Bigelow for me easily.
Yeah, I put Bam Bam laying on the mats. I mean, the bear hug was embarrassing.
Right.
Best match.
Brett Razor easily.
Yeah, but I have the same. The Rumble, I don't think is a bad Rumble, but I like the Brett Razor a little bit more, just because I think the lulls. And the Rumble just killing it too much for me. But
right.
Like I said, there's some really good spots in there. Stock up.
Stock up. I got Lex Luger. So he debuted perfect. He debuted. He's got a feud already ready for him. He's got Bobby in his corner. Like I'm really pumped to see what Lex does.
Yeah, I'm actually going Giant Gonzalez. I mean, for a debut, okay, cool. That was awesome. And I know how I've seen his Mania match, like, he will never get stock up again, I don't think. So,
right.
I mean, they definitely
start off high.
Yeah, start off high and just end very low. I think it was just an awesome moment, and I think he did good in it and was in there for, what, maybe 2 minutes, made his presence felt, and got out of there. So I think a cool moment. And a guy like kind of shrouded in mystery at the time right now.
Exactly.
And then the last one, stock down.
Yeah, it's Boss Man. Like I wish he would have, you know, I wish he would just button his shirt up now, quit teasing us, get the hell out of there. You know, hopefully he's just on to WCW, whatever, you know, become that man is big bar, whatever they call him. But
Guardian, whatever.
Yeah, get out of there. That was lazy as hell. The character's not even over anymore, really. Like, it's just not. Like, you know, Inspire, there's no change. He's like the same guy since he came in. So, yeah, it's just stale, and I'm ready for him to go. So, Boston for me.
I don't know if this guy was ever high, but Terry Taylor, embarrassing performance of 24 seconds.
Yeah.
Can't even last longer than the guy with one arm in Shango. And just, he's a bum. Like I said,
he wasn't even the best bird in the match.
I literally forgot him. I literally was missing a guy and had to go back and add him. So that's how big of a bum he was. I know it was high.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
It wasn't high before, but he's done for. So a good show, another good pay-per-view. You know, I think 2 for 2 on not great pay-per-views, but, you know, enjoy watching it. And this one's a little kind of cool because we watched the build-up, even though some of the build-up, you know, was questionable. You know, the Bam Bam Boss Man match, they tried. But, you know, I definitely think a cool leading, doing all the watch-up, and I can't wait for a kind of Mania 9. I know it's not maybe the greatest show of all time, but, like, on the card, like, if you saw the card, I think you would think, like, oh, this is going to be a pretty good, you know, pay-per-view.
I'm pumped for Mania 9.
Yeah, we'll see if the build-up leads to it, right? Like,
yeah, and I don't hate that show as much as most people do. Like, it's definitely the bottom 5, 6, 7 Manias or whatever, but rewatchability wise, I'd rather rewatch that than probably any of the past 6 or 7 WrestleManias that have happened current day, you know. So yeah, I'm pumped to get to that one.
definitely 32 is way worse.
Right.
Good. So I think next week we got we got to figure out how to get the network on Peacock, so we'll try to figure it out for the next episode. But we're going to try to do a Superstars if we can get it. The Superstars after the Rumble, and then we'll do the third Raw, which is the pretty, like, the biggest one so far to date, right? Because they got Flair Perfect Loser Leaves Town match, and the hat angle with Macho and Repo Man. So pretty good Raw setup. I don't know what's on Superstars, but obviously a fallout from the Rumble, which I think will be good too, to see where they kind of take some of the stuff. You got a couple good angles like Flair, Luger Perfect, King Yoko. Perfect, Yoko winning, Gonzalez, Taker. Like, I think there could be some good stuff coming out of it too.
We got a lot to look at.
Marty Sherry, Sean. So it'll be interesting to see how much they, you know, bring out of the Rumble. So, another good show. Look forward to in 2 weeks catching up on, you know, a great match. I haven't watched it in a while, the Perfect Flair match, but I remember it being really good.
I remember it being very good, so I'm pumped to see that one as well.
Excited about that. So, until then, we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, everyone. Cheers. Paul Roma, Tito Santana.
Roberts, the Warlord, Demolition Smash, Texas Tornado carrying on Eric, Hawk of Legion of Doom, Superfly, Luke the Bushwhacker, The Anvil, Demolition Crush, Dino Bravo, Greg the Hammer Valentine, Hercules, Shane Douglas, Nasty Boy Brian Knobs, Haku, and the Macho King Randy Savage. It's every man for himself in the Royal Rumble. Plus, World Wrestling Federation champion, the Ultimate Warrior, defends the title against the number one contender, Sergeant Slaughter, front and center. And then in tag team action, the Rhodes family. Meet Virgil and Ted DiBiase. The Big Boss Man squares off against the Barbarian. And then the tag team of the Rockers. Meet the Orient Express led by Mr. Fuji. It's time to rumble!